This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I've just decided to live with the heat and not let it get me completely down.
So you're just going to roll with the flow right now.
I'm going to roll with the flow. You know, I mean, I'm staying inside as much as I can. I'm trying to keep the car cool down. I mean, it's a tough situation.
I know it. Man, it's right. It's difficult when you live in a world where, and I never thought that, I'm sure you kind of the same way, never thought that we'd have to cool the car down in the summer. And, you know, sometimes when it gets really cold in the winter, you may turn it on to warm it up a little bit. Never did I think we would be in a place where we'd have to cool it down in the summer before you get in.
I didn't either. I mean, it is so bad. You've got to take a paper towel to get the doors open. You've got to take a paper towel to start the car. You've got to keep the windows down. I mean, it's not a good situation. And it makes you not want to get into a car. It makes you want to stay in the house, stay in the office. I mean, somewhere cool anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And all the water parks are full. Everybody's got their kids at the water parks. They're keeping them cool down. I mean, I didn't realize how many water parks we have. We have a water park in every town around me. I didn't know that.
Really?
But I learned when all the grandchildren wanted to go to a water park, and we looked it up. There's one every 15 miles.
Well, that's convenient.
It is, and some of them are magnificent. Mm. I mean, they are magnificent. And they have a lifeguard every 4 feet.
Really?
They are serious about keeping you safe.
Well, that's fantastic.
And they've got these huge ladders you go up and you come down a long, long way. They've got a lazy river. They've got everything. And they are full. Let me tell you something. Whoever thought this up was some kind of a genius.
Yeah.
He knew that that kids, if you had water parks, they would go every day. They would stay in these water parks.
Mm.
Just going to a swimming pool is old fashioned now.
Yeah.
You have to go to a water park.
Got to have it bigger and better.
Bigger and better. And they measure you. If you're not a certain height, you can't go up there on those high ladders and come down. They don't allow it. You have to do other things. But if you're tall enough, and the world is your oyster. You can do everything.
Wow.
You know?
Well, I don't remember that when we were kids. You know, back in the old days, you know, you go and you get on a little ladder and you go down the thing and that's it. You didn't have to get measured and you didn't have to go up places that were like, you know, 12 stories tall to get on the slide. And wow, it sounds like things have really expanded. That's cool.
They have really changed. And the other day someone said, Faith, what do you think would make the most money? I said, it's either for kids or dogs.
Oh, yes.
I said, either one would make a fortune because sports is the biggest thing in the world in all these schools. And they say, we're going to add more, we're going to add more. And they do. First, the kids have karate in the summer. Then they have flag football. Then they have basketball. Then they have soccer. Well, in the meantime, it's summer. So then they have camps for all this.
Mm.
And every week there's a camp. It's a soccer camp, a basketball camp, a football camp. And your kids can go every day to camp. And it's expensive.
Yeah.
You know? About 2 weeks of that's all anybody can stand. But just think how many kids are going through those camps. And with what that costs, It's a money-making deal.
Boy, I remember a couple months ago when you were looking at, you know, like summer camps and pricing these things and how they have like skyrocketed. It was mind-blowing to me. It's crazy.
It was mind-blowing to me. And we said we could not afford to go to those summer camps, Rio Vista, all those down there in the hill country we went to for years when my children were little. They weren't expensive. You could afford to go. But now it's $35,000 to $5,000 a week
wow.
to go to those camps. Those are out as far as I'm concerned.
$5,000 a week?
Yes, $5,000 a week. I was in shock. And this girls' camp that that my daughter had went to when she was a little girl, we couldn't even touch it. I mean, I was going to send the grandchildren there. Well, my gosh, $5,000 a week?
And these places are full?
I think of a lot of things I do that isn't one of them.
yeah, I know.
And I wouldn't even consider it.
And these camps are all packed.
They are packed. They said we have a waiting list. You know, you couldn't get in this month, but maybe next month we put you on that list.
Wow.
But these people are only open in summer. So I guess they've just geared up and said, I'll bet people would pay that if we just charge that huge amount.
and they have.
I mean, they're all got as many clients as they need.
Wow.
It's just amazing. Man, can you imagine if you wanted to go for 2 weeks?
Oh, geez. You'd have to mortgage your house.
You'd have to mortgage the house and the llamas or something. I mean, you'd have to do something spectacular.
Sell some organs, anything.
Yeah. So then they came up with all these sport camps locally, which don't cost near as much, so everybody can do this. And then the water parks, which are marvelous. So the kids can stay right here at home and do a lot of things that don't cost a fortune to do.
Man, I remember.
And then they've got baseball camps.
Oh, yeah.
All summer long. Now, the baseball camps, they went to Colorado. They went to North Carolina. They went to different places for these camps.
Wow.
And they charge these kids $3,000 a week to go to those baseball camps.
Really?
Yes, it's $3,000 a head.
I remember when camp was like a couple of $100 and it was no big deal.
That was in the olden days.
A long time ago.
A long, long time ago. You know?
Back when we had black and white television sets.
That's right. You know what I was thinking about yesterday? Do you remember when men, husbands, whoever, when their wife went out the car, you went out, you opened the door for her, put her in. When you got to your destination, you went around, opened the door for her.
I still
you
do.
Know, I was just thinking about that. Well, and you should, but I don't see that a lot anymore. My husband always told me it is not ladylike to open your own door.
Oh,
that's what he taught me. It wasn't ladylike. He said you always wait, because one time I got in a hurry and I was just going to jump out of the car. He said, no, that's not ladylike. You wait and let the gentleman take you out of the car.
See, now that's respectful. That's nice.
It is. Yes. And I remember the good old days. I guess that dates me and tells you know what era I was born in, because that was what was going on. And that was when women still wore gloves. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
They wore white gloves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice to see people dressed up. Someone said to me this week, Faye, do you remember when you went and got on an airplane, the men's had on suit, the women had on suits? They look so nice and dignified. He said, now they just barely have any clothes on those planes.
Yeah.
And then they're obnoxious. They're drunk. The airlines are having to turn around and take them back to where they started because they're causing so much trouble on the planes.
Yeah, and
fistfights.
I wouldn't
even be a pilot on one of them.
Oh, I know it. I couldn't even imagine.
I mean,
golly.
I can't imagine getting on a plane and everybody is running amok. And they have to turn around and go back.
Yeah. And you don't go too long, at least in our world. You look on social media or the news or wherever, and you don't go too many weeks before, you know, you see another person getting on a plane, being rowdy, punching somebody, starting a fight. Like, this is at 30,000 feet. It's like, what are you doing?
That's exactly right.
What happened?
I mean, and every once in a while, the other pastors have to take someone down, put them in a hammer hold, and hold them till they get there.
Yeah.
They have to sit down on them till they get there, and then they have the police meet them, and they take the people off in handcuffs.
Golly.
It's a tough world out there.
It is. It is a really tough world. And, talking about manners and just being civil in public, it's like, God, you look now, you pull into a parking lot now, you see, a guy and a girl get out of a car. We've seen this so many times, I'm sure you have too, where it's like they pull in, they each get out of their own car, and then the guy is like halfway into the store before she's got her door closed. It's like they don't even walk together anymore. It's like, what happened?
And that's not right.
No.
Men are supposed to protect their family.
Yeah.
Their wife, their kids. You're supposed to always have their back. And that's what I don't understand. Life has changed.
Yeah, it has.
The criminal element is, I'm afraid, it's going to take over. You know, it's getting worse and worse. People were not taught manners. You know, in the generation before, everybody was taught manners. You were taught how to act. You were taught to be respectful to your mother, your sister, your grandmother. And nowadays, these people are violent.
Yes.
I mean, they're violent. They hurt everybody.
Yes.
I don't know what the world's coming to.
I don't know.
It's a bad situation.
Disagree over a ham sandwich and you'll end up in a fist fight or worse. It's like, what happened? You know?
If people are in line and someone does something they don't like, they'll beat them up.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just blown away at how we've, is it digressed? Went backwards in our behavior?
We have digressed, yes.
Wow.
And it's not for the best. I don't know what to say.
I know.
I mean, wow. You know?
That's a great cheery way to start a Saturday.
Is that a cheery way? Well, we can talk about ice cream. Did you know? That right now, every flavor of ice cream in the world is being made. They're given 2 for $7. I mean, it's a wonderful time of summer.
Mm.
Not only do we have all the watermelon you can eat, but all the ice cream you can eat. So it's a wonderful time.
Ice cream is the best. You know, ice cream is great any time of year, but especially when it's this hot, you know, it kind of melts just a little bit because you can't eat it fast enough. So the heat gets gets its hold on it. It's like, it's just the best thing. And I think it's good for safety, too, because with it so hot out, don't you need something cool to kind of cool down your body temperature? I think it's safe.
You do. Yeah. And what we did is we voted. Do we go to Brahms or do we go to Sonic? And Brahms won out. So we all went to Sonic. Every flavor of ice cream cone, and some of them mixed theirs. I'd never heard of that.
Really?
Having two or three kinds of ice cream on your cone. But they did it.
Wow. Fancy.
Yeah. It was fancy. It wasn't just, I'll have two scoops of pineapple or strawberry or chocolate. I'll have one of this and one of that.
Wow. Neat.
Yes.
That's cool.
Times have changed, you know?
And you all voted, and everybody had a say-so, and whoever actually won.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
Brahms won. There was 4 for Brahms and 1 for Sonic.
Wow. Well,
yes.
Sounds like a great way to decide, especially with all... How many people went? How many did you have? Like 5, 7?
5.
5? Yeah.
5 well went, and it cost $12.
Really?
$12. That was worth it every day in the week.
Yeah.
For that much ice cream.
I would expect that to be like 50 or 60 bucks.
No, it was $12. I'm telling you, they've been having all these sales on ice cream. And then they had a sale that you could buy all these cartons of ice cream, and those were on sale.
Really?
So... Yeah, you have to watch for sales on ice cream.
Mm.
It's really important.
it is important. Sales on ice cream. I would have to say, literally, that's at the top of my list.
Yes, it should be the top of your list. I mean, they make cheesecake ice cream. They make every kind in the world.
Mm. Oh, I love ice cream with stuff in it, like especially at the holidays when they come out with like the ice cream with like all the cookies, the Christmas cookies and the cinnamon, you know, whatnot, and the chunks of like pecans and all that in there for like fall and Thanksgiving. Oh, it's the best. Ice cream season
it
never
is.
Ends.
There's nothing any better. And then if you want sprinkles on it or pecans on it, you can get all that on top of it also.
Yes.
You can say, I want sprinkles, I want the jelly deals, the candy deals. I mean, you can have it. You can have it your way, I'm telling you.
There is no combination that is bad when it comes to ice cream.
No, you can have every flavor. And everybody should be doing this. It's good for you.
It's good for you. Wow.
It is.
Oh, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
One of these days, we're going to have to focus on the benefits of ice cream. Just spend like an hour.
Right. I'll do a story on ice cream. Yeah. Who invented it? Who made all the different flavors, you know?
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. Oh, my goodness. All right, so money-wise, how are we this week? Because I know if we don't bring up money at some point, somebody's going to send a letter or make a phone call. So
that's right. They want to know about it. What are we doing? What are we progressing on? Well, we just closed the policy, the Graham policy. As you know, the Barry Chase policy rescinded. I kept telling him he was really sick. Get in this policy. They did. And then, of course, it rescinded because he was too sick. He went to hospice. He's not going to live long. But the good news is we've got policies. We're putting people in them. And people shouldn't be hesitating because they've got that $2 million that'll be in their bank account next week off of the TAN policy. They've got extra money to be going in their account to invest. So instead of sitting on the sidelines, now's a good time to take stock. You've got the money in your account and invest in a policy because we've got some really good policies coming up. So I'd like to see everybody get in a policy. And then we're going to be looking for maturities. I'm sure we've got some more out there that just haven't been reported. I'm hoping, you know, that some of these are going to mature real quick. The Denton policy that we've been waiting on so long. Now, Mr. Denton, in 20, we just found out, had a stroke. And now we're trying to get the medical information on him because no one has got any medical information now for 3 years. So I think, you know, he may be really sick. Remember, he's 91, and we're trying to get this out the door because we've waited a long time. And this is one of those old ones that we did that we shouldn't have. So we're hoping to get this out the door.
So what I kind of hear here, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but when you secure a policy and people are in it and it's just kind of like a matter of waiting for the policy to mature, you're not necessarily just waiting for it to mature. You will actually like actively seek them out, check on them, get an update periodically throughout the policy duration. Is that
yes, right? We get an update on all of them. If it goes over, we ask immediately for them to go look at medical records, get a new report, and tell us. Now, let me tell you something really, really interesting. On Mr. Tan, we just before he died, 2 months before he died, we got a new LE on him. It said he was going to live 2 years. He died 2 months later.
Wow.
Tan died 2 months later.
Good. Yes. That's a big difference. I mean, that's fast.
It was really fast, and it was not what they thought. They said, oh, he's going to live another 2 years, and he did not. And my thing is I think Mr. Denton, if he had a stroke, which they said he did in 20, and now we can't find out any information, we've got to go back to the original doctors and ask them to kindly forward us. Everything's been happening to him. But on all of our ordinary policies, yes, if it goes over, we immediately call for a new LE, new doctor's reports, tell us why it went over. And the ones that come in early, we don't worry about. The ones that are on time, we don't worry about. You know, I told you last week that altogether, since we started this, we've had 200 million.
Good Lord.
In maturities.
I'm just blown away.
200 million.
Wow.
And since 18, we've had 100 million of it. Since 18, we've had $100 million in maturities.
That just blows my mind. I can't even wrap my head around those figures. I'm amazed.
That's how much business we've done. That's how many customers and how much investments they've made and what they've gotten back. They've gotten back lots and lots of maturities, lots of profit, which is, you know, that's what we're here for, is to make them a profit and to make us a little profit as we go along. So it's really important. You know, we turned down a lot of policies. I turned down several this week. They were 80 years old. They had premiums of 7% and 9%.
How dare
they even send that out?
Wow.
Nobody in the world would buy a policy like that. There's not anybody that's going to do that.
Jeez.
Because we look at it, every one of them, we're intense on that. That's the first thing I look at. When we get a policy in to look at, I go, okay, wait a minute, before I spend a lot of time on it, what is the premium? That's the first thing I ask. Because, you know, we're paying 1% a month. So if it's 16 months, you make 16%. If it's 24 months, you make 24. That's the way it works. If it goes over, it'll be a little bit less. But hopefully, if you've got real small premiums, it won't make any difference. That was one thing about the Barry Chase policy. The premiums, I think, were $39 a quarter.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was the best, sweetest thing you ever saw.
Jeez.
Yeah. So the premiums are really important. What kind of cancer they have is really important. The treatment they've had is really important. And as you know, on breast cancer, if they've been to Mexico, that makes it really, really a good policy. Because we know if you've been to Mexico, you've delayed treatment, and now it's going to be way past where you should be on that treatment. So we're always really interested in that. You know, pancreatic cancer, you know, is, in our opinion, is the deadliest. Because a lot of people do not know it's a silent cancer. You usually don't even know it till it's too advanced. I've had people tell me that are our clients that they've had an uncle that died of pancreatic cancer 6 weeks after they found out. And sometimes it happens that way. You don't even know that you've got it, and it's already too late. So it's interesting how this plays out. A lot of people, when they get in, they don't know how it's going to work. Then they get that first maturity, and they find out how they get their money, how it gets paid, that it goes to Nevada Trust, where their account is. And the bank handles their money. The bank pays out. When we have a maturity, it all comes to Nevada Trust. They put the money in the accounts like we tell them who's got how much coming. So all that's always handled by the bank, not us. So that's another safety feature. Also, did you see the stock market this week?
Oh, my God.
When it plunged?
Yes.
I mean, did you ever see anything so bad? It's the worst plunge in years and years. But when they downgraded the U.S. bonds, you saw what it cost.
Jeez.
I mean, it was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Are we going back into that place? Is this the new norm, I guess, is that, I mean, I know that anybody's in the stock market, you know, by now knows that, you know, anything can happen, especially the turbulence that we've seen over the last several years. But is this the new norm where, you know, expect these gigantic, you know, bottoms to drop out and then, you know, this unstableness that follows? Is this normal, or do you think that maybe at some point something may stabilize a little bit more?
Well, I would hope so. Everybody's got a different opinion. Jamie Dimon over at Chase, he's got one opinion. Some of the other banks have a different opinion. Some people think it's going to really cause a recession. Some people say, oh, it's just a little blimp. It'll be okay. I don't know. But I know that I would not want to be in the stock market right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that brings me back to the fact that if they had been in an annuity, it would not have went down. You know, it's got stock market indexes in there, but you're never direct in the stock market. If you had had an annuity and it crashed like that, the annuity doesn't crash. Everything just stays the same. You didn't make any money that month, but you didn't lose any. And when you look at how much people lost this week, it's billions of dollars. And that's another thing. It reminds me of annuities. Our annuity companies are all geared up. They are giving bonuses that are unheard of in the industry right now. You know, we thought that other bonus was good at 9%. They've geared up now. There is a 12% bonus. You can buy this other bonus and add to it.
Really?
So, yes, you can get a total of 17% bonus this year, and that's unheard of. I haven't heard of that in years and years. The first bonus does not cost a dime. There's a 12% bonus, everything you put in this year. And everything you put in next year, the next seven, there's a 12% bonus every year for 7 years. Now then, there's a rider you can buy, and it will up your bonus even more. It'll raise it to 17%. But it's a rider, and you can have that rider put on there, and then you can get that much every year for 7 years. That's unheard of. And, you know, we're talking about a company that's worth $60 billion. We're talking about a company that's been in business over 100 years. So we know they're reputable, they're reliable. They think the economy is going to improve, so they're giving these huge bonuses out. I have another company I work with. They're giving bonuses out, and they've been upgraded. They've been upgraded to AAA. And so a lot of things is happening with annuity companies. A lot of them are putting bonuses out that we've never heard of. So if you want to just lay back, sit back, and get your bonus money every year, do an annuity right now. Take the 12% every year that you put money in it, or buy this extra and get an extra bonus.
So even
just put the rider on it.
Even if the market, say, for example, was to go down like we saw this week, being in an annuity, your principal is protected, so it doesn't. It has that layer of that net of I guess protection.
Protection, yes.
So that you don't lose everything. But then, even if that was to happen, you still get this bonus on top of it. So we're talking about automatic profit, right? Am I understanding this the right way?
Yeah, that's right. So let's say that the annuity makes 7%. Whatever it makes, you get that plus your bonus this year.
Jeez.
Whatever it makes, plus your bonus. So that could be a lot of money. It's just started. It started August 1st. So I don't know how long it'll be. I'm sure it'll be good for at least 30 days. It might even be longer. But this would be worth investing in. So if some people with us have got some money that they're just sitting there holding, do an annuity. Make it worth your while. Do $100,000 in annuity or $200,000, whatever. But you're going to get that 12% bonus this year. Then whatever it makes this year, then next year, if you put more money in it, you'll get 12% again. Or add the other rider and get a little extra.
So
it's a wonderful time. Annuities have gone crazy.
Even if it makes nothing, you still make money.
If it made nothing this year, you'd get 12%.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, you can't beat that. If you got 12% in the market, didn't make a dime, it's not going to hurt you. You know what else you could do?
Huh.
You could take the bonus and take the fixed rate. The fixed rate's over 4%.
Really?
So look what that would give you first year.
Good Lord.
Yeah, you could take the bonus plus the fixed rate, and you've made a lot of money for the year.
Wow. All of a sudden, within a matter of like 5 minutes, you've made annuities sound like the most attractive thing. I'm willing to bet the horse and farm that on Monday morning when you're back in the office, your phone blows up like crazy. I
think it will, too, because 12% bonus plus put it in a fixed rate, you've got it made for the year.
Yeah.
So we know this year is going to be a heck of a year. Then next year, if you put any money in, you're going to get that 12%, plus you can do the fixed rate and have a guaranteed rate every year. Or speculate and say, okay, let's put it in all these indexes and see what they'll make. There's no fees on these indexes. They're all fee-free. So it's a good time to be in annuities. Your money's always guaranteed. If the stock market goes down, this doesn't go down with the stock market. It just wouldn't make any money that year. So you've got guaranteed money. It's from a AA-rated company. It's a company that's been in business over 100 years. There's $60 billion in counting.
Jeez.
Wow. So this is the place to be. I would put some money in annuities and get these bonuses, make this extra money, because once you make the money, it's locked in. That's one thing about annuities. Whatever you make with an annuity, it locks in. It doesn't ever go backwards. It's not like the stock market. And you can be sure your money's always safe by doing an annuity.
Well, I tell you, so, I've always thought of annuities as kind of like slow and steady and stable, the three S's. But all of a sudden, it just seems like with all these bonuses, all of a sudden, it's like now annuities seem a little bit more aggressive as far as the profit margins go.
They have all of a sudden become very aggressive.
Wow.
And they haven't been this aggressive in years, because most of the policies I do, they don't even offer bonuses. I haven't been doing bonuses. I haven't done a bonus in probably 10 years. Have not. And because there was always a trade-off. If you did a bonus, you made less. But not now on these. It's not going to affect what you make in your annuity. So it's a good time for the new kind of annuities. It's a good time for bonuses and safety. If people are in the stock market, want to get out and say, you know, I'm at the age, I'm 60 years old. I don't want to jack with stock market anymore. Do an annuity. Put part of your money in annuity or all of it in. They're safe. They're not going to go backwards on you. Your money's always there. So I recommend annuities right now more than I ever have. And then if you can speculate, do some life settlements. But remember, you've got to be accredited to do a life settlement. Hmm. To do a life settlement, you've got to make either $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million, and that is without your home. So, and there is requirements, and it's $100,000 investment, which is a small amount. So, either one is great. You can mix it up, or you can just do one or the other. It depends how conservative you want to be. And we've had a lot of people doing annuities lately that have not done them in the past.
Is it?
And it's a good time to get in an annuity.
Do you think it's a little bit easier to, you know, since you do have to be accredited for a life settlement, is it a little bit easier to, I guess, qualify to do an annuity than it is a life settlement? What are the?
Yes, it is easier, because with a life settlement, you know what you have to be worth. You know that you've got to make $200,000 a year. The annuities have a lot of requirements, but they're not that tough. They're going to look and see how much cash you have on hand, how much you have in savings, and what you owe per month. That's what they look at. They look and see if you owe $7,000 a month and you make $8,000, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Unless they're sitting there and they say, oh, they've got $100,000 in savings, or they've got $200,000 in stock market, or they've got, you know, some assets. You've got to show some assets. Again, your house does not count on an annuity.
All right.
It's your other assets is what counts.
Okay. All right. So there's people that may, and I think we've talked about this before, but correct me if I'm wrong, but there are people who may not be accredited, so they can't do life settlements yet, but they might be kind of close or on their way up or working towards it. It sounds like right now an annuity would be a really great time to go ahead and start building your assets, building your wealth, so that you are accredited to do a life settlement. Not, I don't want to make it sound like a stepping stone or anything like that, because it's certainly not, especially with all the bonuses and all the aggressiveness of the returns right now. It sounds like both of them are very, very viable first choice options. But if somebody's in that position where they're not quite accredited for a life settlement, annuities are a good way to get there, right?
That's right. And then we have a lot of people that came to us years ago and they were not accredited. So a lot of the policies, they couldn't go in. They had to go in their own special policies. But now, we need to revisit that. We need to check them. If you're now accredited, you know, you can do a life settlement. You can get in the bigger policies because you must be accredited. And when they first came, some of them were not accredited, but they are now, and they've just never told us that they now are making a lot more, and they've now got $1 million in assets. And a lot of people don't even think about, you know, what their assets are and if they've grown over the years. And we're finding that a lot of our people are accredited now, and they can do a life settlement now.
Yeah, things do change, and people don't always, you know, go back and reassess, you know, their assets and things like that. So what was in place maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago may have grown, and now they may be at a point, and it would be worth going back to kind of, I guess, reexamine to see if they are at that place. But boy, I tell you what, annuities all of a sudden are very, very attractive. It's like they're all of a sudden now the queen of the prom, it sounds like.
They are. They are very attractive. I was getting things from different annuity companies this week telling me what their bonuses were, what they could offer, what they could do for my clients. And they were giving webinars on all aspects of retirement this week and how to use an annuity in retirement, which they are a great, great thing for retirement, because, you know, they're guaranteed you're going to have them for years to come. And they're not like the stock market. They don't go up and down. They don't have the risk, and therefore you can sleep at night, like we used to say. People were getting up at midnight checking to see what had happened to their portfolio. And if they were looking this week, they got a heck of a shock the other morning when they downgraded the U.S. bonds. I mean, that stock market pancaked.
Jeez. Is all this aggressiveness with annuities, does this have anything to do with the economy reforecast? Or is it just something that was in the works before?
I think it has a lot to do with the forecast. I think the annuity companies look at things a little different than everybody else, and they're thinking, you know, all these people that are in the stock market, if we offer this right now, we'll get their business. Mm. And they're saying, you know, we want their business. Annuities are billions of dollars every year that people have in annuities. They've always been a safety net, and I think that's what they're thinking. At a time like this, if we go ahead and offer these large bonuses, we're going to get your business. You're not going to stay over here in the stock market. You're going to say, you know, it's time. We're at the age where we need our money guaranteed. We don't want the risk, and we're just going to go do annuities and forget about it.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what.
If they're fixing to retire, it's a great time to do it.
Yeah, it is. Golly. Between all the bonuses and all that you just went over, plus what happened this past week with the stock market, I would almost bet that on Monday it's going to be a very busy day with you on the phone for people looking for
yes,
annuities.
I think it is. I think a lot of people that have been on the fence are going to get off the fence and come over and do annuities, or maybe do both.
Yeah.
You know? It depends how big their portfolio is. But instead of waiting around for the stock market to come back, you've got enough losses. Let's don't take any more losses. Get out while you've got your money, and let's do something positive about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about making money the most conservative way possible. And it sounds like, you know, life settlements and annuities right now, both aggressive, both very conservative, both, you know, protect your principal. And so, golly, it sounds like a great time for people to thrive no matter which way they want to go. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
The snow monkeys of South Texas.
Cool.
Now, what do you think about that?
Just hearing the word snow at this point makes me happy.
The snow is what did it. Well, let me tell you this story. Back in 1953, in the Himalayas, they had all these monkeys, and these primatologists started laying out wheat and apples, and these were just free roaming bands. And so the researchers wanted to study the monkeys. Well, they studied them all right, and they got them too docile, By 1966, the population had exploded. They weren't afraid of humans anymore. They were raiding gardens. They were stealing laundry.
Oh,
they were doing all kinds of naughty things. And there was 150 of them, as I said, and they were pooping in the Buddhist temples.
Oh, really?
And they had become a public nuisance. So they said, you know, we've got to do something about them. What are we going to do? Well, it was a five-alarm alert. Went out to the international community to save these animals because they knew they were going to destroy them if they didn't find a home. Well, an anthropologist at UT, Claude Bramlett, he advocated vigorously to save these monkeys. And he talked even to an undergraduate student. And one student heard the plight. It was Helen Drysden. And she talked to her father, E.J. Drysden. He was a Laredo attorney, a rancher, and land developer. So, E.J., he calls Bramlett. He says, how many animals do you think I could raise on 100 acres or so? Will it work? And he said, can the surplus monkeys be sold? Well, Bramlett knew he had a deal right there. So, according to the legend from the Drysden family, the Japanese Air Force secretly flew the monkeys to Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio. All this had to be hush-hush because the Japanese citizens were upset by the U.S.'s involvement in the Vietnam War. Well, there's other reports that the 26-hour flight was done by Japan Airlines and the Arizona National Guard. Now, we don't really know, but that's the story on it, how they did it. And so they brought them to South Texas. From here they were in the mountains and, all this beautiful country and grapes and nuts and wild plants and mushrooms. And they suddenly faced a hostile landscape with thorny mesquite, prickly cactus, coyotes, barbs, poisonous berries. The coyotes were howling at night. They had bobcats, hawks, owls, rattlesnakes, screw worms, but a cold winter and a lot of insecticide, that took care of the screw worms. The coyotes, the rattlers, bobcats, that's another story. The bobcats discovered the food value of the monkeys and were abducting the little monkeys, so they had to intervene with a shotgun. So they had snake bites. Everything happened to them. So, you know, They got around to getting all these things where they weren't killing them. And then at noon every day, buckets filled with corn and crubs and all kinds of implements. And they would let out these yells. And they'd start a half hour before feeding time. And it would just rise to a crescendo. It sounded like old-fashioned baby dolls crying. And they would just get louder and louder till they got their food. So, you know, everybody was learning how to handle these dadgum snow monkeys and how to live with them. And everybody fell in love with them and was taking care of them. And then the monkeys had a bad deal happen. They got word that they would come up to the fence. Well, some old bad poachers killed some of them.
Oh.
So then they had to start trying to find a place that was safe to relocate them. In the meantime, there's this lady, and she met them. Her name's Sarah Bird. And she said, you know, I wonder what I could do about these monkeys. So she wrote two or three books and changed the names, made them exciting, made heroines and all this kind of stuff. And she sold these books. And she just changed the names. And she didn't put Laredo or, you know, South Texas and how it truly was. And her second novel was called The Boyfriend School. And everybody was excited about her novels. And they were going to make it into a movie. And she was just plunging from one project to another. And it looked like this was going to be a great movie. Because Hollywood had come. And Isabel Rossellini, who was a devoted animal lover, signed on. ABC said, we need a research trip. Well, they went for 2 weeks in Borneo with Rosalini. In the end, they scrapped the project that was never done. Yeah. And Mr. Drysdon had died about that time. And they lived on his ranch till 1980. So then the estate was put up for sale, and they needed a new home. And Bramlett again came to their aid. And there was another rancher. This rancher said, okay, I'll take them. So they persuaded this other rancher to take them. Of course, by this time, there's 300 of them. So the Burns Ranch near Dilley, outside of San Antonio, he set aside 100 acres of his vast spread. And it was christened the Texas Primate Observatory. And it looked like it was doing pretty good. You just couldn't protect them. And then, about that time, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the Texas Park ruled that these monkeys were no longer a protected species.
Really?
So that was a really bad thing. So, again, a five alarm was raised. And this time, it went out not just to primatologists, but animal lovers around the country. And Wayne Newton heard the call. And he said, I'll do a performance, a band concert, and a benefit. $40,000 for them.
Wow.
So then they finally purchased a really secure permanent home for them off of I-35 outside of Millet. So it's been over 50 years now that they've been in Texas, and we've had these monkeys protected now, and they've been here all this time. Snow monkeys in South Texas, they've written all these books about them, but they made them into romances. You know, they didn't just tell the story of of monkeys, but this girl wrote all these novels and made them, you know, sound very romantic. She put a lover in there for the woman. It, you know, did all kinds of things and got them published. She made some money, but she never forgot her experience with these snow monkeys. And after years, she went back and visited them again and wanted to know if the original monkeys was still alive or if their descendants were. And this one named Petra had many descendants, and she had done well in the family situation.
Wow.
But can you imagine snow monkeys coming to Texas? Nobody ever knew about it. I didn't know about it.
No, I had no idea.
I had no idea that we had snow monkeys in South Texas.
Can this is a dumb question, but can you go see them? Or...
Yes, you can.
Really?
You can visit them, yes, because a lot of people have. And again, now UT is involved with them still all these years. And now people that are trying to get their license and their degrees to see about them, they take care of them. And this one lady said her and her children, they feed them every day. You see them carrying them around, carrying the babies around, taking care of them, you know, because they're very friendly to people because they didn't put them out in the wilds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They loved on them. They took care of them. And so now, you know, you couldn't put them anywhere except where they are because they're used to people and they're used to being fed. They're not used to having to go out and look for food.
Yeah. Wow.
But, yes, you could visit. But I did not have any idea that we had snow monkeys in South Texas, and they've been here all these years since 1960s.
I know it. It's like this is like so under the radar. I'm so shocked that this doesn't have more, that maybe more people don't know about this, especially since, you know, at one point Hollywood was involved and they were going to do a whole thing with it, even though they scrapped the whole project. But still, the fact that, you know, it even got their attention is just kind of like mind blowing to me. I'm surprised it's not more well known.
Can you believe they slipped them in? That's what amazes me.
Yeah.
They flew them to San Antonio secretly at night where nobody would know about it. I mean, it's just things that happen in Texas. We never, you know, we did the story of the camels that came here, but I had no idea that we had all these snow monkeys from the Himalayas here, you know?
Yeah. It is just like the climate seems, now I don't know a whole lot about geography, but it seems like the Himalayas are very, very cold. And to go from there to South Texas, is there like some kind of a, do they have to get used to like different climates during?
Oh, I imagine they did, because it's hot, it's arid.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got to stay out of the prickly pears. They've got to stay away from the cows. I mean, their life is in danger all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, but at least they're not getting in monasteries and people's gardens anymore. But you know, they had gotten too close to them over there while they were studying them, and they just went wild. They were trampling through people's gardens. They were doing bad things. And, of course, 150 of them going in those monasteries, I imagine those monks were pretty hot.
And,
and they said, you've got to get rid of them. And they went out worldwide trying to find somebody that would take 150 snow monkeys.
Jeez.
And, of course, UNT, you know, they were excited. They got on the phone to everybody. They talked about ranchers. They talked to ranchers' daughters that were going to school there, and of course they all came across and said, "Yeah, I'll take those 150. I'll, you know, give them that much land, and want to know if they could sell them if they needed to." Oh my gosh!
Wow.
And this girl said she was starving when she started writing those novels, and so she made them a romantic novel where they would sell. And she said, you know, while she's trying to get her degree, because she said she was starving anyway, it wasn't making any money, and while she was helping take care of them, and then wrote those two or three novels, got her some money, and then she was going to do this great movie, and of course ABC canceled it.
That's a shame. That would have been great.
But I was shocked to find out we had these monkeys from Japan and from the snow that came to South Texas and adjusted to it.
Yeah.
You know?
And they've,
I mean,
been here
as hot as it is.
I'm shocked. It seems like totally, completely polar opposite, you know, environments for them to get used to. I'm sure it took a little bit, I don't know how long, a couple years maybe, to adapt to it or, you know, get used to the dangers or whatever. But just to know that it's still there and it's been there for this long, I'm shocked about that too. Just...
Yeah, and now I think there's over 300 of them.
Oh, wow.
300 from 150. I mean, they've doubled themselves. But they're still studying them, and that's why the university is involved, because the university studies them, learns from them. They learn how they live, what their pecking order is, all kinds of things that they're studying. So I imagine there is all kinds of documentation about these monkeys at UNT.
Jeez.
Because they've been studying them all these years, and then they have graduate students that work with them and take care of them.
Are we the only ones that didn't know about this? Does everybody else know? Or?
Well, I don't know. I wonder about that.
This is completely news to me.
Because I'd never heard of it, and I ran across it and went into shock.
Yeah.
I go, holy cow, why did I not know about this?
You would think something that major we would know about, but I don't
yes.
know.
Yes, and Sarah Bird, the woman that did all this, wrote this article about them this year in July after all these years.
Wow.
Over half a century. She says it's truly a wild tale has played out in Texas.
Yeah, clearly. Wow. And we can go see them.
Yes. I'm sure you'd have to ask them. But they're over here by Dilley, and they're in a secluded area. And I think that you'd have to have permission, but I'm sure you could tour it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it'd be different than going to the zoo.
You know, no, it's not like going to the zoo. You would be able to go and see how they're living, how their lives are, and they're very, very friendly.
Yeah. That fascinates me as well. I'm sure they would, I don't know what they do, they come up and be social, I guess, maybe?
Oh, yeah, they've got pictures of them holding them in their arms. Yeah.
How cool.
So they're, yeah. And it's just amazing. And that each one takes care of the other's kids and all this stuff.
Wow. Maybe we should all be more like snow monkeys.
That's right. Just pass them on. You take care of my child, or you take care of it. I'll be back.
Yeah. See you later.
So you just never know. But I thought we should all know that we do have these snow monkeys and that they're being studied over here.
That is fascinating to me. I'm absolutely shocked by the whole thing. I had no idea. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right. Before we wrap up, I know that with life settlements, we always like to go over the risks. We should probably run down the top two just so that people know what could happen so that they're fully aware of what's going on.
Well, the biggest risk at all is if it goes over, you would have to pay premiums. We've got the premiums lower now, and so there's not a great risk. So that's your biggest risk. If it goes over, you have to pay premiums. The other risk is it's not liquid till it matures. So you have to wait till the policy matures. Then you get all your money. You get your principal and your interest, and it goes back into your account.
Okay. And then also, real quick, with annuities being as hot as they are, with the bonuses and with all the things that are going on, and I'm sure, like we said before, you're probably going to get a ton of calls on Monday morning with people interested in getting into annuities and taking advantage of the bonuses. How long does it typically take to get into an annuity on average?
A couple of weeks, because if if it's coming out of the stock market, we have to transfer it from the stock market, liquidate it, and send it into the company. If it's a check, it's instant. If it's not, it may take a week or two. We had a lady that wanted to liquidate her company, her account there in Midland, and I won't give you the name of the company, but once that they knew she was moving her account, they were nasty to her and didn't want to help with the transfer.
Really?
And that happened. Yeah. They were mad at her because she wasn't going to stay there. And she didn't want to deal with them anymore, and she told them that. And when she did, then they would not help get the money transferred faster. And that's a shame that they would act like that.
Wow. That doesn't happen very often. That's weird.
No, but it does happen. Huh. So anyway, it usually takes 2 weeks if it's coming from the stock market to get it over to us, okay?
Okay. And then just for comparison sake, for a life settlement, how long does it typically take a new investor to get into life settlements?
If we have some available, we can get them in immediately. We probably have some right now that we can get them into, so there probably is not a wait right now.
Okay. Cool. And how long does it take for life settlements? If somebody came over and say they've never done life settlements before, don't have an account, they want to move forward with it. Is there I assume there's an administrative paperwork thing, transfer period?
Yes, we have to fill out all the papers. They have to open the account at Nevada Trust. All the money goes to Nevada Trust. We operate out of a Nevada Trust, and they'll take care of everything once we get it over there. They'll open the account. It'll be online. They can go online at any time and see it.
Cool. All righty. So you have appointments availability this coming week to talk to people about either life settlements or annuities, right?
That's right. We'll be working hard this week. We're going to be on it.
And then one last time, Faye, for people to call, get some information if they want to, or to get started, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.